This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 384, recorded Wednesday, February 21st, 2018, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Woo!
And happy to you, Jerry, belated President's Day.
Ooh, belated President's Day.
What did you do to celebrate President's Day this year? Did you have the traditional President's Day food?
I did not.
Did you sing the traditional President's Day songs?
Nope.
Did you do anything President's Day related?
I didn't work. That counts, right?
Lucky you.
I didn't work at my day job.
Oh, what did you work at? Your night job?
Yeah, the whole Zatara thing.
Okay. I worked a regular day, but I get to take Friday off. We compromised.
So
I had the day off on Monday, but they needed me on Monday, and I said, give me Friday. They said, fine. Well, I'm not giving... I may spend entirely too much time working, but I'm not giving them a free day off. I am taking all of the time off that is owed me.
Good.
Anyway, so on Friday, I'm going to go visit our nation's capital.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah, I'm going to buy a television.
In Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, my uncle asked me if I could come see him and help him pick out a television.
Oh, okay.
We're going to do other stuff, too, but that's on the list. Basically, I'm going to go see my uncle and hang around Washington, and he said, as long as you're there, could you help me pick out a good television? I'm thinking of suggesting the one that I bought for myself.
What's that?
A TCL. Are you familiar with them?
You know, no. I figure nowadays, unless you're like a real videophile, then just about any... You know, you pick the size that you want, and you pick how much you want to spend, and you look for TVs in that price range at that size, and call it a day.
Well, the TCL line is a budget brand which got great reviews for quality. It's a 4K television, and it has built-in Roku.
Oh, wow, cool. Roku Ultra?
Well, it's built into a 4K television, so technically.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah. So if I remember correctly, the 43 inch was $289, the 49 inch was $339, 55 inch was $389. I might be misremembering. Not bad. And again, it got better reviews than some higher priced television.
Cool.
So I have a TCL that I bought, that replaced my older one. Anyway, that said, I was going to recommend that one. So, we'll see what else I get to do while I'm down there. Not been in Washington in a while. I was in Baltimore recently, but I can't remember the last time I was in Washington. I think it was during that government shutdown. Anyway, so let's talk about some Android things and some home automation things and some other things. You up for that?
Money today.
What?
You made me spend money today.
How did I make you spend money today?
You just did. We'll get to it.
Okay. This is not the first time I've done that, is it?
No. You find cool stuff.
Isn't that what I'm supposed to do?
Yeah. Okay. I'm just saying, I think you did a fine job. You did such a good job that I
got a commission. Anyway, so the people over at Google announced that Android Pay is now Google Pay. So it went from Google Wallet to Android Pay to Google Pay. I'm starting to get confused. Are you confused, Jerry?
No, it's all Pay.
Yeah, I know, but why do they keep changing the name? I want to pay for things.
Does it matter what the name is?
No, I haven't actually paid for anything with any of them in a while. Although, right. When I was cleaning out my drawer, I did find my Google Wallet card, which I think I used once just to prove I had a Google Wallet card.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but now it doesn't work. So
that's not cool.
Well, it's more a remnant. But I don't know. I like the idea of easy contactless paying, but I just never bother. I just put my credit card into the little slot.
Yep.
I can't necessarily see the advantage of having to unlock my phone and wave it over their reader. Isn't that
right? Because you have to unlock it, select the... find the app, and then it's not.
Well, I'm asking the question of what is the advantage? Am I getting more protection by using Android Pay over using the actual card?
Probably not. But
can I leave the card?
You don't have to carry around 15 cards. You can just carry around one phone.
Yeah, but I don't carry around 15 cards.
Some people do.
Do you have 15 credit cards? I'm not asking how many you have, but do you have any number near there?
I think I have 15 pieces of plastic that hit different accounts that would... I don't carry them all. I only carry 3 or 4.
No, I have other... I have more than a few cards in my wallet. Just not other credit. I have my...
Not me.
I have credit my cards, dental card.
ATM cards.
Well, I have my dental card. I have my preferred patron card at the local delicatessen.
Well, I have a Bank of America debit card. I have a Navy Federal debit card. I have an Amazon Prime card. I have a Discover card.
Why are you carrying around an Amazon Prime card? You can't use it anywhere.
What are you talking about? It's a Visa card.
Oh, you have the Amazon Prime Visa. I have the Amazon Prime store card. That's the one where you can only use it at Amazon, but you get 5% back.
It's a really nice. I mean, as far as like cards go, it's really nice. I mean, as far as like its physical presentation.
I don't know. So, I'm really fond of the physical presentation of the Chase Sapphire card.
The Amazon Prime card is a Chase card, so.
Yes. Well, Chase Sapphire, their card is so blue that you can't actually see where the strip is. And everybody who looks at it tries to figure out how to swipe it.
I am not necessarily a fan of the Amazon Prime card and the Discover card both have the numbers on the same side as the strip.
Yeah, I have a few cards.
I'm not really a fan of that.
I find that interesting. I've never really looked into why they do
it. To be, it gives them one entire side for advertising.
Oh, is that the only reason? I thought there might be. I thought there that it might be that they no longer wanted to have the raised numbers on it. Because remember, that the raised numbers is what they used to for manual transactions. They used to stick it in and they used to rub carbon paper all over it.
Well, on the Amazon card, the number is etched in. It's not raised like a press, but it's, you know, they ran an etcher over the card to etch the numbers in. That's so you can feel them.
But when was the last time you saw somebody manually take a card? It's been a long time since I've seen somebody do that.
Well, not with the ka-chunk machine.
Is that what it's called? Is that the technical term?
But I don't think it's the technical, but it's the sound that it makes when they use it. Ka-chunk, right?
I feel like that should be the title of this episode, the ka-chunk machine.
No, I haven't seen one of those in years. I think the last time I saw one was in like Dillard or Sears or something.
I remember I saw one day when somebody's system went down and they were trying to find it and sort of remember how to use it.
Now, I have seen manual processing of cards. I mean, it happens on Square quite a bit when the swiper isn't quite working, so they'll manually enter the numbers.
Yeah, but that would mean that they manually got an approval code from the credit card company and manually entered it in, which doesn't require the whole imprint thing. I don't think anybody really needs the imprint anymore.
I don't think so.
I think they sort of relaxed on that. Anyway, changing subject, Android P will apparently restrict camera and microphone usage by background apps.
Yay!
Well, that's a good thing, because why should a background app be listening on your microphone or using your camera? That should be restricted to foreground apps.
Especially things like Assistant.
And it doesn't, by the way, it doesn't say that it will prevent it. It says it will restrict it. So one
maybe
would
that means it has to ask for it.
Yeah, which
it'll
is,
be another permission.
I wouldn't object to that.
The camera permission will be separate from the background camera permission.
Well, I know I have an Cerberus. You remember that app, which I've mentioned a few times over the years, where it has a thing where it's in the background and it will take a picture if you try to unlock the phone and fail. So that's a background app I would want access to the camera. Anyway, Swipe, which was the keyboard that allowed you to swipe around that has now been copied by a bunch of other people, is dead in the sense that it will no longer be developed.
Well, yeah. I mean, they had one gimmick, and now that gimmick seems to have made it out. But
they were the first.
They were the first, but I think they're proving that first mover advantage in keyboards does not necessarily exist. I mean, there's some really good free keyboards out there, so it doesn't make for a very good business model.
I guess they're going to move into other things. Speaking of moving into other things, I found this interesting review of Mega Man Mobile for Android, and I was feeling nostalgic. You don't hear me often talking about games on the show.
Right.
But I have a special place in my heart for classic Nintendo games, because that's what I played. So I spent a lot of time on Mega Man.
Did you?
Yes. You know, do 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 do. I'm sorry, that music's been stuck in my head for 30 years. That end. You know that one?
No.
Okay. Not a Nintendo player, I'm guessing.
Not really.
Okay. But that was, I can tell you exactly when I got a Nintendo. It was January 1st, 1990. It's easier to remember because it was New Year's Day. And I did have Mega Man. So there's some nostalgia when you hear that they've decided to release some of the earlier Mega Mans redone for mobile.
I didn't even know Mega Man was a game. Not till today.
It was a classic Nintendo game. It's one of the reasons that I built a Nintendo emulator out of a Raspberry Pi to recapture that. I don't feel as if I'm pirating it because I still have my cartridge. I still have all of my cartridges. So I consider it fair use.
Okay.
If I replay games that I legally purchased that are no longer, that it was either that or try to buy a Nintendo. Anyway, you don't have fond memories of things that you did when you were much younger?
Sure. My mom and I, we had an Atari 2600 that I have fond memories of playing Pac-Man with my mom for hours and hours.
I don't know. My mother, brother, and I used to play Tapper. Nothing like a family sitting around serving drinks to people in a bar. And you know what's interesting? I didn't take up drinking. But yet my favorite game of my childhood involved serving beer to people. Oh, well.
Cool.
LastPass finally got support in the stable version for Oreo's autofill functionality.
Did they?
It is no longer just in the beta.
When did that happen?
This week. That's why I'm reporting that they finally got support for it this week. Maybe the update didn't come to your phone yet.
It has not.
Okay, you should go and check the store and see if you could force it.
Nope, not there.
Sorry.
I think you're misreporting the news.
Nope. I saw three different articles reporting that it got support.
Okay, so says you.
Anyway, since I wanted to start including some home automation notes, the $20 Wisecam, which I happen to own two of, is apparently moving to version 2, which will add IFTTT and Echo Show or Echo Spot compatibility.
Cool.
What do you think?
So my question is,
yeah,
does this take the video and stream it outside to like some other service that does the analysis, or does the analysis happen on device?
The analysis happens on device, but it does, in order to do cloud connectivity, it does have a third-party server.
Hmm.
So there are other cameras you can get that can be hacked. Now, the thing is, if you disable their cloud services, you can put an SD card in the thing, and it can store all of the video to that. So I have an SD card in mine.
Okay.
So mine is a backup camera that basically looks at my hallway to see if anybody...
Ah. In this case, I like it, so I bought two.
Okay. The only thing that I wish it had is RTSP support, but they've promised they'll consider it. So the
Okay, so the IFTTT support is not currently in the device.
No, they've said that version 2 will include that.
But version 2 doesn't include that.
It's all firmware. So it's updated firmware and updates to their cloud server. So it should be...
Right, but the firmware that's coming in March should add that IFTTT stuff.
But that doesn't prevent it... Basically, that's not really a hardware upgrade. That's a software upgrade.
Right, which is cool.
So it's basically the version 2 of the software. The reason why it's being branded as that is they're going to put it on the box and start pushing it. So the idea is it's a selling point that they're going to advertise.
I think I would like to be able to use it without sending the video outside the house.
That's RTSP support. You're not the only one who asked for it, including me. A lot of people want the ability to basically... access the camera stream directly in their house without having to go outside of it. Now, there are cameras, including one that looks exactly like the Wisecam, that can do that if you're willing to hack it. So the Wisecam, while the software is proprietary, the Wisecam, let me get the exact name, I always forget, is manufactured in a basically in a Chinese factory. So there's an equivalent camera with the exact same hardware design called the Xiaomi Xiaofang. And people have managed to install an alternate firmware on it that disables its cloud connectivity and changes it over to basically local control only.
Cool.
So if you went on to Amazon, for example, and instead of looking for it is the Xiaomi, I have to type this in really bad with my Xiaofang, that's Xiaofang camera. And it's not currently being sold on Amazon, but you can get it from places like GearBest and some of those third-party sites. You know, the ones that sell all sorts of Chinese objects.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want one of these, again, identical cameras, you can buy them. It's about $17.14 on GearBest, including shipping, but you have to wait a few weeks for it to be drop-shipped. And I think it might have been discontinued, that particular design. So I don't know. But basically, there are options where you could basically get the same camera but hack the firmware. However, I would rather deal with the company in the United States with their firmware. So where would you rather have your data sent, to Amazon Web Services or to an unknown server in China?
Well, if it's my own Amazon AWS stuff, then that's cool.
It's not yours. It's somebody else's.
No, I like that.
Yeah. Well, either way, I've committed, because it goes to a service that's not under my control, that these things will not be in a place that I'm concerned about having. That's why I have one in my hallway. If I wanted a camera inside my actual place of residence, then I would want one that didn't have any connection to a third party. I have no problem. If somebody hacks into my exterior camera, they're going to see the street. Who cares? I don't.
Okay.
Either way, it's a nice little device, and they have said that they are committed to adding new. Hopefully one of them, they promised RTSP, but they don't not everybody lives up on promises to open up their software to other people. So I'm sure there's somebody out there trying to figure out how to hack the thing.
Cool. I like it. I'm going to try it.
Oh, here's one. Open source firmware with RTSP for Wyscam. Open IPC. Let's see if somebody's actually done it. Open IPC, okay, cheap off the camera, can be loaded onto any Wyscam using a properly configured SD card. Open IPC is forked and works with the Xiaomi model. We've been able to connect multiple Wyscams to various VMS systems. All donations are appropriate. So, so if you look at this time, there is no documented way to revert to the original Wyse firmware. So if you go to openip.cam, so since the last time I looked, it looks like somebody finally did do it. Disable the cloud for a more secure experience by connecting to your existing surveillance system with RTSP. So this is exactly what I want. I'm going to go flash my camera. Jerry, I have to thank you.
You're welcome.
I wouldn't have looked. Last time I looked, this wasn't available. I would not have looked. Flash it onto any micro SD card, insert the card, and follow the setup to... that explains it. This thing is in beta, and it was only released 2 weeks ago. So no wonder I didn't hear about it. Also, they're selling... You can get an installer card that doesn't require you to flash your own for $13.
Neat.
For all those people who don't know how to flash a card, which is fine. Although I find it interesting. An individual who doesn't know how to flash a micro SD card, would they want to flash their camera firmware? It seems like anybody who's interested enough to want to flash camera firmware on a webcam wants to, probably would be able to figure out how to do it. I may be wrong about that, but that's a sort of interesting thought. Anyway, I'll read that later. So the OpenSignal State of the LTE report shows that 4G speeds in the United States are stagnant at 45 megabits per second, making the U.S. number 62 overall in LTE speed.
But if the graph is anything to go by, it's not like there's a large difference.
Well, we are being beaten by South Korea.
Well, South Korea is also...
much smaller, right?
Yeah. They...
How about Singapore?
Singapore is also a very tech-heavy country.
Netherlands, Norway.
It's a really good zoo, an amazing zoo.
I haven't had the pleasure. But we're
second best I've ever been to.
Yeah, but we're being beaten by a lot of countries. Admittedly, not size-wise, that it would be interesting to try to balance it that way. But there are a lot of countries where the speed is significantly higher. So we're number 5 in availability, and we're number 62 in speed.
So how do you define speed? Average. Because if it's an average of all the land mass... There are probably a lot of, there are probably large swaths of the United States that don't have really good 4G coverage because there's like one person that lives in, a 14-mile radius.
Well, as I said, it's not necessarily a good metric.
I wonder if they use their LTE, they're the only person using it, do they get throttled?
Hopefully not.
Because I couldn't imagine it getting congested with one person. Just a thought. Anyway, I'm excited about my Waze Cam.
Yeah, and I'm excited now that I figured out there's a possibility that I can hack mine, because that's important to me.
Cool.
No, to be able to access the feed directly instead of going through a third party.
No, I understand.
And that'll change a lot of things. It'll make it much more to me, and I may buy more. But I have two of them. One of them's deployed, and one of them is waiting for me to do the deployment. I may try it on the one that's waiting to be, rather than the one that's currently deployed before switching. Since you can't reverse it, once you've Wyscammed, you can't go back. No, once you flash their firmware, they don't have a return path to the stock firmware. Ooh. But at $20, I could live.
Right.
Let's see. There's a New York federal court decision that threatens embedding and linking across the web. I thought that was sort of worth mentioning. Basically, Goldman versus Breitbart is the case, and it cannot be appealed. The judge's decision is that even though none of the defendant websites actually downloaded the photo, copied it, and stored it, each defendant website embedded the photo by including the embed code in their HTML code. As a result, all of the defendant's websites included articles about the meeting, with the full-sized photo visible without the user having to click on a hyperlink or a thumbnail in order to view the photo. So basically, they found that embedding a tweet containing a copyrighted photo. So basically, they didn't even embed the photo directly. They embedded the tweet with the photo. Could create liability for copyright infringement. And the whole thing was backed by Getty Images. So basically, the judge commented that there are genuine questions about whether the plaintiff effectively released an image into the public domain that was posted on a public social media account. So there's a very serious and strong fair use defense, a defense under the Digital Copyright Act, and limitations on damages from innocent infringement. However, that doesn't help. So basically the decision says that there are a bunch of things to be considered, but that there could be liability for doing this. That means that anytime you link to another website, you could be liable. That's pretty, even if nothing else happens, that's going to scare a lot of people.
True story.
So I'm hoping that the EFF, which has already weighed in on this, is going to defend everybody's right to link to things innocently. Now, the thing is with Twitter specifically, if Twitter gives you embed code and you post something on Twitter, so basically by posting to Twitter, one would assume you're giving Twitter the license to use that, and they say that they allow people to embed in third-party sites. Therefore, that would seem to be a license to what you're doing. Again, back to acceptable use. If you don't want people to be able to copy your photos and embed them, then you shouldn't be posting them on a public site where, again, people are allowed to embed. Again, I will let the experts hash that one out. So, Jerry,
seems wonky to me.
So I have to ask you, what was our topic for this week? We were going to talk about something.
No.
What?
No.
No, we didn't have a topic?
No.
I don't remember.
We talked about Raspberry Pi last week.
Yeah, but what did we say we were going to talk about this week?
I don't remember.
Okay, well, in a rare reversal, none of us remembers what we actually said we were going to talk about this week.
But all right.
I have something to talk about.
What's that?
I accomplished some home automation chores.
Ooh.
I have I have tweaked the settings that I use in the app on my phone. I mentioned Zenzito that sends sensor data to my server. It is now sending my steps. It is sending what Wi-Fi network I'm connected to, my battery percentage, and whether or not my phone is currently plugged in. So the signal that I care about is what network my phone is connected to and what it's plugged in, because I can use that to determine where my phone likely is. Because if my phone is on my work guest network, I'm probably at work. If my phone is on the name of my network at home, I'm probably at home, except for one problem.
What's that?
Well, in order to make things easier on my relatives, the guest network at my residence, their residence, and my brother's residence, for some unknown reason, all use the same network for the guest network. So the guest network in all places is the same username and password.
Well, that's handy.
Yeah, it is the guest network, but still. Part of the reason for that was that the same people were moving back and forth, and it was easier. So basically, I go to visit my parents, regular, obvious reasons, and my parents come here regularly. So it was easier for me to make the guest network in both places the same. And then my brother came, so he logged into that network, and he set his network to the same thing. So in three different states and five different locations, the same username and password is used for various family networks. On a positive note, you don't actually know what that password is. We're probably safe.
All right.
If any of them become compromised, I have to change the whole house. Anyway, so I did that, and also I reprogrammed my lights. So whenever I turn my television on, the recessed light on my ceiling directly above the television turns off so that there's no screen glare. So basically I'm keying in scene lighting directly to the action of turning my television on.
Nice.
I have a few other things that I fiddled with on that. I was playing with that. I also tweaked a bunch of my lights and I got myself another Sonoff. I had a bit of a problem with the one I got. So the Sonoff.
What's a Sonoff?
I mentioned this to you. The Sonoff is a $5 wire-in Wi-Fi switch.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Now, the problem is, I discovered after I ordered them that the inexpensive Sonoffs, the ones that require you to wire up your own cable, in the latest version of the firmware, you can no longer hack it remotely because they implemented SSL certificate validation. So you can't do an upgrade by spoofing their OTA server anymore. So the only way to upgrade them is to actually solder onto the board a bunch of leads so you can update the firmware manually, which I don't want to do. So there's a different version of the Sonoff, which is the one that includes a temperature sensor. That one has not been updated to a new version of the firmware. So I was able to buy one of those, and now not only do I have one that is controllable without using a third-party server, so basically it wipes all of the software that comes with home and replaces a local communication option, but it also has a built-in jack for a temperature sensor, so it now knows how much the temperature is in my living room. It's going to replace one of the wireless temperatures, which I can now move to a different, and is sending that data. So I may buy more of those.
Awesome.
The only problem is I always get worried whenever I'm cutting 110-volt electrical cabling. I'm always convinced that I'm going to wire it incorrectly, and then a year down the road, it's going to short out. What really annoys me is that if you cut an extension cord, you don't get solid wires. You get, threaded wiring. I don't know what the term is for that, being as I'm not an electrical expert.
Strand.
Okay, stranded wire, is it?
Yep.
So why is it that extension cords don't have a single solid piece of metal inside them instead of a...
Because strands bend better.
Okay. Can I buy an extension cord that doesn't use strands?
Why would you want to?
Well, basically, I'm just trying to wire a plug onto a onto one of these jacks.
Then get some 14-2 cable and hardwire it. But if it's not going to move, then hardwire it.
What do you mean by hardwire? Hardwire a jack as opposed to use an extension cord?
Yes.
I suppose. I could get a length of actual hard wire, it'll plug.
Yeah, 14-2 is probably what you want.
I know, but I already did it with an extension cord. It's just a pain in the neck getting the thing, and I'm always going to break and come out.
Twist them.
I did twist them.
There you go.
But there's a reason I gave up electrical. You shock yourself.
If you're really worried about it, you can tin them.
I'm obviously not that worried, but if my house burns down tomorrow, then you...
The pizza.
What?
The pizza.
No, I'm just a worried. So far, nothing's happened. I wired up three of them malfunctioning, but we'll see.
All right.
But they are, whatever you can say about them, they are very reliable. They work very well, and they're pretty inexpensive. Even the ones that can still be hacked and the ones that are already pre-wired are anywhere between $15 and $20. And they're much more flexible than if you get a Wi-Fi-enabled switch from a third party, again, back to cloud server. You have to rely on their software and the fact that it's sending information to somewhere that you don't want it. I like the idea that it's all local control. Anyway, so any interesting home automation endeavors on your end?
I wouldn't call them interesting, but we're in the process of, we're going to set up a monitor in our hallway.
Okay.
That it's kind of in a little recess, and we're going to hook it up to the Raspberry Pi, and we're going to hook it up to a motion detector, a human presence detector, so that when it detects human presence, it'll turn the monitor on and show our calendar so we can keep our family.
What is the difference between a motion sensor and a human presence detector?
I think a human presence detector uses heat as well as it detects the motion of heat.
Instead, do you have a particular brand of these, or are you wiring it yourself?
I'm wiring it myself.
Okay.
It's what came in the kit for the...
Oh, for the thing that you bought?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I do have some inexpensive Z-Wave motion detectors. One of the other projects I did over the weekend was to try to improve my Z-Wave coverage by putting in some repeaters, because I'm coming off of a USB stick and it doesn't really have that much range.
I think I'd like to replace it with like a camera with like facial detection, so we could like leave messages for somebody and it would determine who was walking towards it. And that way it could replay the message for the right person. And if it wasn't somebody that lives in the house, then it wouldn't display the calendar.
Well, I do remember seeing an open source project for a camera that actually does facial detection. But off the top of my head, I do not remember the name of that project. I could probably find it. I think it was Python, but I'm sure there are competing products. Either way, lots of interest.
Yep.
But I do have motion sensors around here, but they're not they're currently recording motion, but I have not hooked them to actually trigger anything. Because when I had motion-activated light switches, I never could quite get it to work. And I want to do a little research. I think I need to have two-factor triggering. So it needs to be the motion sensor plus something else.
Right.
And I'm going to figure out what that is. For example, all of my doors have, exterior doors have magnetic sensors. So it may be a combination of motion plus the door opening, which would indicate that somebody was on the right side of the door, as opposed to the wrong side of the door when movement happened. I'll figure it out. Anyway, shall we adjourn?
Let's call it a night.
How about we do this again next week?
I think we should. Okay. We should try and remember what we were going to talk about so we could talk about it next week.
You do realize we recorded the conversation, so one of us could just go bother to look.
Oh! Okay.
Well, how about this? If we can't remember, what is it that we... One, I'm going to write it down in the show notes. What is it you want to talk about next week? If it's written down, I could always go check on it rather than listen to the whole recording.
I don't know.
How about 3.5-inch floppy disks?
Seems like a dead subject.
I don't know. I have a pile of them here on my desk, and I was trying to figure out what to do with them. I found them in a drawer. What should I do with them? I thought about giving them to young people who won't know what they were. You know, look, it is a giant save icon. You think anybody but me would find that funny?
You know, we're getting into an era where kids see icons and they learn what the icons mean, but they have never seen a thing which the icon represents. Like the telephone. They've never seen a handset like that.
I suddenly want one of those. I used to have a candlestick phone.
What's a candlestick phone?
It's one of those ones you see in the old movies where you would pick up the receiver and hold it by your ear and you're talking to the thing that's on that you'd have on.
Yeah.
I actually left it at my parents' place because my jack here was broken. I just loved answering the phone ahoy hoy. It made me feel very retro. Have you ever answered the phone ahoy hoy?
Nope.
Why not?
I don't know.
Are you familiar with the term?
Nope.
Basically, it was Alexander Graham Bell's preferred telephone greeting. It didn't catch on. Hello became more popular.
Right.
So whenever I talk on an antique phone, I feel very retro, so I use the original Alexander Graham Bell's preferred telephone greeting. Ahoy, hoy.
All right.
We all have our things.
We do.
In honor of President's Day, I've been listening to presidential music.
I'm sorry.
Why? There's some great classic songs like Keep Cool and Keep Coolidge, Tipper Canoe and Tyler 2, Just Before Election Andy. No?
Nope.
How about some rock songs? There's a rock remix by They Might Be Giants of Tipper Canoe and Tyler 2. They also did a great song about James K. Polk. See, nobody celebrates presidents.
Not properly, not apparently.
I do.
Yep.
I celebrate all holidays that do not get enough appreciation. So on Groundhog Day, I have my Groundhog Day tradition of watching Groundhog Day. For President's Week, I listen to presidential campaign music. And you know that Martin Luther King's birthday is coming up?
No.
It's coming up next year. It comes up every year.
Ah, funny.
Well, you did realize that it was a few weeks ago, right?
I don't know. I don't even know what day today is.
February 21st, 2018. I say it.
Cool.
I say it at the beginning of every episode.
That doesn't mean that I remember.
Okay, I'm just pointing out that I do say it every single time.
I understand, and that's awesome. That doesn't mean I remember. Yeah.
But I've been wanting to visit the Martin Luther King Memorial, which has been open for several years. So even though I missed visiting it for Martin Luther King's birthday, I am going to be in Washington this weekend. I'm thinking of possibly going and seeing it. I'm not sure if I'll get to it. It does depend on my host and how much time it takes to get that television. But I'm tired of visiting the DEA Museum, which is my uncle's favorite spot to visit. Have you ever been to the Drug Enforcement Administration Museum?
No.
It's a trip.
Ah.
I wish I was joking. It really is a weird museum.
Okay, but it was funny.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it really is a weird museum.
Okay, but it was like a joke.
Yeah, they have a mock-up of a 70s head shop. That's where all the trips were done.
All right. I believe we were saying goodbye.
Yes. It only took us another 2.5 minutes. Goodbye, Jerry. We'll talk next week.
Good night. Bye, folks.